morning to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Book of Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read the first 8 verses. Luke 18, verses 1 through verse 8. And he, that is Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, in that same city. And she came unto him, that is the judge, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What we read here, particularly in verses 2 through 5, is the parable of the persistent widow. And it, of course, is one of the many parables of Jesus Christ. Parables were simply word pictures using an image or a story to illustrate a truth or a lesson. And parables, of course, were a key part of the teaching ministry of Christ. The background of this particular parable goes back to Christ speaking to his disciples in the hearing of the Pharisees upon the subject of Christ's return. We see that in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through verse 37. Following that, again speaking to the disciples in the hearing of the Pharisees, we read in verse 1, and, that is in connection with what has gone before, he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, these disciples. And then the opening sentence we see in verse 1, to this end, he states the theme of the parable. He states the purpose of the parable. He states the design of speaking the parable. He mentions the main point and the main lesson of the parable. And that is that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the actual parable is recorded in verses 2 through verse 5. And then in verse 6, Jesus calls their attention to carefully consider what has been said. He said there in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. That takes us back to verse 5, what the unjust judge said. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So hear what the unjust judge saith. Going back to verse 5. He then makes application of the parable in verses 7 and verse 8. He applies what the unjust judge saith, and in verse 7 he makes an assumption. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? That's the assumption made from the parable. That is the assumption made from what the unjust judge saith. Then in verse 8, he confirms the assumption. He says, I tell you for sure that he will avenge them, the them going back to his own elect. He will avenge them. He will avenge his own elect. So then he confirms the assumption that he made in verse 7. But at the end of verse 8, also has a part of the application of the parable. Jesus asks a very solemn question, a rhetorical question. He asks a question intended to evoke personal thought, a question intended to evoke personal examination. The question is, when the Son of Man cometh, keep in mind the parable is spoken in the context, Jesus spoke in Luke 17 of the return of Christ. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So Jesus asked a question so that you and I could examine our own lives, a question about faith. The question must be remembered, the question must be viewed in the context of his coming, and the question must be viewed as a definite connection and a definite link to the parable. When the Son of Man returneth, will he find faith on the earth? And we're going to center this morning the thought of the message around that question. Will he find faith? I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of a rare and scarce faith. First of all, let's look at the parable, because the question must be considered in connection with the parable, since the question is asked as part of the application of the parable. In the parable, we read there are two main characters. We read in verse 2, there was in a city a judge. Verse 3, we read, and there was a widow in that city. That is, she resided in the same city as the judge. She had access to this judge. Now, the judge is used as a stark contrast to God. But he's used as a stark contrast to God to encourage you and I to do something. We see that he was everything that God is not. We read concerning this judge that he, in verse 2, that he feared not God. And as he was a man who did not have good character, he was unrighteous. On the other hand, God is goodness itself. We read concerning this judge in verse 2 also that he neither regarded man. He didn't care about man. He certainly did not care about this widow. He did not care that she was a widow. He did not care that she was probably poor. He did not care that she was being tormented, that she was being harassed by an adversary. He did not care. He cared nothing for her. But on the other hand, God cares. In verse 6, Jesus Christ referred to him as an unjust or an unfair judge. And of course, on the other hand, you have God. The widow woman represents God's elect. This woman had many obstacles, many hurdles in her life. Being a widow, it is obvious that she had suffered a loss. Being a widow, in those days she belonged to a segment of society that was often oppressed and often taken advantage of. The word widow in the Bible is usually synonymous with being poor. She was probably poor. She's a widow. She is probably poor. We know for sure that from reading the parable, she was being tormented by an adversary. That is, she had an enemy in her life. She had an antagonist in her life. This means that she had opposition in her life. It means that she had great need. So what did she do? She came to the judge, pleading with the judge that he would deliver her from her adversary. And we read in verse 4, and he would not. He was not interested. He was not interested in righteousness. He had absolutely no pity for this widow. He had no sympathy. He was not willing to help her. In fact, he was somewhat cruel to her. No doubt he was indifferent toward her. And no doubt he was content to ignore her case. Again, he was everything that God isn't. Everything we see about this judge, God is just the opposite. This widow, she had something lying heavy upon her heart. She was hurting. She was in distress. She was suffering. She had sorrow. She had grief in her life. She had hardship. This adversary did present some danger to her life. And no doubt this adversary caused her some fear. No doubt caused her some anxiety. And circumstances were working against her. But she came. She came to this judge. She pleaded her case. And he would not. He paid her no mind. But she kept coming. And she kept pleading. And he would not. And she kept coming and she kept pleading in spite of his character. In spite of his attitude toward her. She kept coming. Wherever the judge went, I believe he would look around. There she was. And she would again plead her case. I don't know, but I can imagine that she would meet him at his house. She would knock on his door and again plead her case. She would see him in the street. And she would plead her case. She would see him in the marketplace. And she would plead her case. Perhaps when he went to court, she would be there and she would plead her case. But it seems like everywhere this judge went, there she was, pleading her case. Please help me. Deliver me from my adversary. She just kept coming to him. Why did she do that? Why did this woman keep coming to him? Because her only hope was in that judge. Sure, he was devoid of good character, but that was her only hope. He was the only one that could avenge her from her adversary. And she knew that. And she kept coming. She kept coming, though she was a stranger to the judge. The lesson being to you and I are not strangers to God. How much more you and I should continually come to Jesus Christ pleading. This woman came and she was a stranger to the judge. She came. She kept coming day after day. No doubt several times a day. And she did so with no invitation from the judge to do so. I don't believe the judge ever told her, "Ma'am, come back tomorrow." He just simply refused to listen to her case. But she kept on coming with no invitation. You and I have an invitation to come every day to the throne of grace. This woman had no invitation, yet she continually came. The lesson being how much more you and I should come. This widow who had no husband, had no husband to speak on her behalf, no husband to protect her. This woman who has opposition in her life, who had a tremendous burden, had a tremendous weight upon her. This widow woman who is, she's hurting, she's in distress, she has sorrow, she has grief, she has heartache, circumstances are against her, and she just kept coming. She wouldn't stop. Eventually, the judge said in verse 5 to himself, "I will avenge her. I'm going to give her what she wants. Lest by her continual coming," that is, he saw no sign of this woman letting up. "She's going to keep coming. She's going to bother me every single day. Everywhere I go, she's there." So basically what he concludes is, to get her out of my hair, to get her out of my life, I'm just going to give her what she wants. Again, the judge is everything that God isn't. She was continually turned away. She was continually ignored. She was continually slighted. She was continually shunned by the judge, yet she refused. She refused to be discouraged. She refused to be demoralized. She refused to be disheartened. She refused to give way to despondency. She refused to be given over to a spirit of hopelessness. She refused to be in despair. She refused to quit. She just kept on coming until finally the judge avenged her. She was relentless. She was very, very resilient. She simply refused to give up. May I say that this woman had faith. She believed. She was absolutely convinced that this judge, in spite of his character, in spite of his attitude and behavior toward her, that he was the only one that could help and that could relieve her of her situation. Time and time again, he refused to listen to her, but she came back. Time and time again, he ignored her, but she came back. Time and time again, he turned her away. She came back. Time and time again, he was rude to her. But she'd be back. Time and time again, he was unsympathetic. He was unmoved by her pleas. And I imagine each time she came, the plea became more and more desperate. But this judge was unmoved by her pleas. He was insensitive to her. But she kept coming. He really was thoughtless concerning her. And he was quite heartless toward her. But she never stopped coming. And she never stopped believing that this judge is able to relieve me of my adversary. I want relief. And this judge, he's able. And I don't believe she ever became half-hearted in her coming to him. She remained constant. She remained persistent. Again, the lesson being, if this widow woman prevailed with such a judge as he, by her continual coming, how much more God's people should continually pray, always pray, and not to faint. That's the lesson. That's the lesson of the parable. But there's this question at the end of verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, and it's the last part of the application, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I believe with that question, there is the implication that when Jesus Christ returns, faith will be greatly lacking. It'll be very rare. It'll be very scarce. So with the question, or with the implication, the question serves as a warning of danger, a warning about a risk concerning the scarcity and the rarity of this faith. It's really a very concerning question. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? That's a question that ought to concern us. It's a very searching question. It's a question that ought to cause us to search the depths of our heart. But it is also a question that arouses a degree of fear. Shall we find faith on the earth? That leads us to the question, what is meant by this faith? What kind of faith is Jesus talking about when he asked, shall he find faith on the earth? Many have used this to teach that there will be very few saved people on the earth when Christ returns. And I believe that's true. I believe that there will be very few saved people on earth when Christ returns. I believe that most churches will continue to have their regular services when the Lord returns. I believe that. I do not believe that that is the faith that Jesus is talking about here. Because again, we have to make the connection and the link to the parable. We also know that in the New Testament, faith is used many times with references to the doctrines of faith or the truth. And I do believe that when Jesus returns, there will be very few holding to the doctrines of the faith. Yet I do not believe that is what Jesus is teaching here with this question. So what we will need to do is we need to look at faith in the context of the parable. First of all, the question goes immediately back to Christ's confirmation in the first part of the verse, where he said, I tell you that he will avenge or vindicate them, his own elect, speedily or suddenly and unexpectedly. The question is, will there be many believing this truth when Christ returns? This truth of the coming of Christ. There aren't many today who really, truly believe that Jesus could come at any moment. There aren't very many sitting here right now who really believe that. Oh, I know in your statement of faith in your own mind, you say you believe it, but there are very, very, very few who really believe it. It's very scarce. The faith that Jesus Christ will really come to vindicate his own elect. That is a very scarce faith today. Jesus spoke of a danger in regards to his return. Notice in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. He's speaking of his return, and in verse 34, he said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, burdened, or weighted down with surfeiting, which is excess in abundance, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that that day, the day of Christ's return, come upon you unawares. And as you read the warnings of Christ in regard to his return, his warnings reveal that the majority of the world, when Christ returns, will have grown very cold. That most of God's people will have grown cold. And they will be more concerned about temporal things, and they will be more and more apathetic about spiritual things. Will he find faith on the earth?
Will he find that kind of faith? How many people are going to be really, truly looking for Christ when Jesus Christ comes? But then we also need to view the question in the context of the entire parable. Again, the purpose and the design of the parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is, that they are to be persistent and constant in prayer. What does that require? That requires faith. That requires faith. In the parable, the widow woman had a faith that placed all. She placed all her hope with the judge. And when he would not, she didn't have a backup plan. She placed everything. She placed it all with the judge. She placed all her hope with the judge. No backup plan. She came to the judge with a heavy, heavy load. She came to the judge with a load that she could hardly bear. And he would not. But she had a faith that caused her to keep coming. She had a faith that caused her to be willing to wait. He turned me away today, but I'll just wait for another time. He turned me away today, but I'll just wait till tomorrow. And she just kept coming and coming and coming. She had faith. She had faith. She had a faith that caused her to persevere. That caused her to persevere in the midst of a cruel and relentless adversary. She had a faith that caused her to persevere in the midst of opposition, and in the midst of overwhelming sorrow, and in the midst of overwhelming difficulty. She had a faith. She had a faith that enabled her to endure trials. She had a faith that enabled her to endure hardships. She had a faith that enabled her to keep on going day after day after day. That's the kind of faith that this woman had. And the question is asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Will he find this kind of faith on the earth? You see, we, like the widow woman, living in the days in which we live, are faced with obstacles. We're faced with hurdles. We live in times that are hostile to the ways of the Lord. Times when there is an utter disdain for God. Times in which God is considered to be a nuisance. We live in days filled with wickedness, filled with ungodliness, filled with vileness, filled with abomination. And these things weigh upon us day after day. And these things seek to infiltrate our thinking. And Satan and the world and our culture are incessantly making inroads into the lives of God's people. And today, many of God's people, if not the vast majority of them, are intoxicated and drunk with the world. Most pastors today are pastoring a bunch of drunks. That's the truth. I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about being drunk and intoxicated with the world. And when you're drunk and intoxicated, you don't think right. And I'm telling you, it gets harder and harder and harder every single day. So you need faith. You need a faith that'll keep going. You need a faith that'll keep coming to Jesus Christ and pleading your cause. This is the faith that this woman had. We are living in a day when biblical absolutes, and I am talking amongst God's people, when biblical absolutes are no longer, that is, in their minds. When people are swallowed up with the world's twisted and perverted fantasies, swallowed up with the twisted and perverted philosophies and ideas of the world. And we live in a time when many of God's people, their life is more in line with the devil's agenda than it is God's agenda. That's the truth. That's not being harsh. That's just the truth. People's lives are more in line with the devil than they are Christ. And it gets difficult. And these things begin to weigh upon us. And this woman, she had hurdles. She had difficulties, but she kept on coming because she believed. That's the kind of faith that we need. We live in a time when there's an epidemic of worldly living, a time when secularism has dulled men's sense and dulled men's sense of values, a time of open rebellion, a time of open defiance against thus saith God. We live in a time when good is evil and evil is good, and when the dysfunctional is the norm. That's sad. The dysfunctional today is the norm. And sad to say, it's even true amongst God's people. And these things weigh upon us. And every day, we are confronted with challenges that would and that can sway us away from God. And we need faith. We need faith to press on. So the question here in verse 8 is, shall he find the kind of faith that would not allow this widow woman to be discouraged? You look at most churches today and they are filled with discouraged church members. People are discouraged. People are depressed. People are down, and they're staying that way and they have no intention of it changing. Will he find faith that will keep people from getting discouraged? I believe it'll be very rare. It'll be very scarce. Shall he find that kind of faith that would not allow the widow woman to be despondent? That would not allow her to be given over to despair? Will he find the kind of faith that would not allow her to be demoralized or disheartened? She had a burden. She had concerns. She had trials. She had difficulties. But she had a faith. She had a faith that enabled her to press on. She had the kind of faith that caused her to continue on. She had the kind of faith that caused her to press forward. She had the kind of faith that caused her to keep on pursuing that which she so desperately needed in her life. Again, notice that phrase in verse 5, her continual coming. No matter what, she continued. Will the Lord find that kind of faith when he returns? That no matter what, God's people continue on. I believe it'll be very scarce. I believe it's getting more and more scarce every day. I believe it's getting more and more rare every day. No matter what the day brought forth, she continued on. Shall he find that kind of faith that continues to be persuaded that God is able? I believe the kind of faith that we see here in this parable is very rare. And I believe by the time that Jesus Christ returns, it'll be even more rare. it'll be even more scarce. Jesus Christ is coming. Whether you're looking for Him or not, He's coming. Whether you're expecting Him to come today or not, He's coming. And He's coming to avenge His own elect from the afflictions of this earth, from the sorrows and trials of this life, to avenge us from the burden and from these bodies of sin. But in the meantime, the danger is very real that we become spiritually paralyzed. There's some sitting here right now, you're spiritually paralyzed. You have been for some time. Spiritually paralyzed. You know what you should do, but you can't. Because you're paralyzed. Spiritually weak. Spiritually broken down. And I believe by the time Jesus comes, more and more will be spiritually paralyzed. More and more will be spiritually weak. More and more will be spiritually broken down. But all to be amongst that number that has the faith to keep on going. Have the faith that this woman had. She just kept on. She just kept on. You see, today, I read those words and he would not. Today, that would send most home to have a pity party. Not her. She went out again. And he would not again. And it happened over and over and over and over again. But she kept coming. It's difficult. I've been pastoring for 34 years, and I'm here to tell you it's far more difficult today than it was 34 years ago. And it gets harder every single day. Because people get less and less interested. And because the devil is working harder every single day. And I'll be honest with you, there are many, many, many times that I sin and I throw up my hands and say, what's the use? But we need faith. We need a faith that will continue on. A faith that will keep going. A faith that when there's an obstacle in the way, we keep going. A faith when there's a mountain in the way, we keep going. A faith when there's a hurdle in the way, we keep going. We just keep going and going and going because we believe. That's what we need. And that kind of faith will be rare. That kind of faith will be very, very scarce. It already is. There's going to be a very rare and scarce faith when Jesus comes. Will He find faith on the earth? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to have faith. Faith that will continue on. Faith that will endure all the disappointments. Faith that will just keep us going. And I believe it's a faith we need to pray for every day. Lord, I need faith to keep me going today. I need the faith to just want me to keep going. There's times where we don't even want to go. We need this faith. Too much is at stake. Sure, there are people quitting. Sure, there are people falling by the wayside. There are churches, there are pastors falling by the wayside. But somebody has to stand. Somebody has to continue on. And it takes faith. And I want to be a part of that number. as small as it might be, but has faith to keep on going when Jesus comes. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.